All right, take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to start tonight a few messages on the subject of strongholds. Strongholds. Pulling down of strongholds. As you sit here tonight, you may not know it at this point, but many of us have some strongholds that are in our life that the devil has. And he has a grip on us and a stronghold on us. But it doesn't have to be that way. Amen? Oh me. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. Everybody's tired, I guess. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Be sure and get that statement. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, a key word, imaginations, casting down reasoning, something goes on in the mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, there's what God is telling us in His Word. And He tells us that we have to deal with that, and we need to know how to deal with it. By the way, I just read out of the King James Version of the Bible. Look to me like you're an intelligent group. Look to me like you understood what I read. The pastor of First Baptist in Dallas today said, we're all ignorant. And he said that anybody who still believes in the King James Version is just, we're just uneducated. Well, I want to tell you, for many years, there was a lot of uneducated people, amen? And the book worked then, and it still works. I don't have any problem with the King James Version of the Bible. I'd rather have it in my pew than the NIV. Amen. NIV is a perverted version. That's what they have in their pew. And that's the difference in Southern Baptists and Independent Baptists. Amen. You ready to go home? You ready to send me home? I know. All right. Now, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a fortress or a fortified city. That's where the word really comes from, as we go back and look at the times when the Bible was written. A fortified city, a stronghold. Jericho was a place like that. Jericho was a place where they had a wall all around it. It was so thick that two chariots abreast could go around that wall. And they had houses built into the wall. That's how thick it was. And it was considered a stronghold to keep the enemy out and to keep people on the inside safe. And so you get the idea of what it would mean. It was impenetrable, they thought. But go back to verse 4 and be reminded that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know that the walls of Jericho came down, didn't they? And I don't think they fell this way or this way. I think they sank right down in the ground. The Bible indicates that. If you've ever been over there, you know that seems to be exactly what happened. But the walls came down, even though they thought they were impenetrable. But strongholds can get in our mind, and that's the idea of it. It can be something that is good, it can be something that is bad, but look at verse 5, where we see the emphasis on casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself to the knowledge against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought, thought, to the obedience of Christ. You see, most strongholds are in the mind. And it is a developed thought that we allow in there over a period of time and there it is in our mind, and it becomes a stronghold. Now, the Corinthian church had that kind of stronghold, and they had a lot of problems. It was a very carnal church in many ways, but in their thoughts, many of those people were bitter against the Apostle Paul, and they were criticizing him, and they were turned against Paul, even though Paul was their mentor, and Paul had started the church, and Paul was the one that was humanly responsible to build that church, and yet they were bitter and angry. They had allowed a stronghold of criticism in their minds. You know, some young whippersnappers think if they, once they graduate from their alma mater, they're really not worth much until they get to where they're above that and they're critical of where they graduated. I think that's a sad thing. I think there should be some loyalty to places like that, good Bible colleges and that type thing. But they were very much like this. And Paul had a group of people who in their mind had decided that they were bitter and angry against the Apostle Paul. A stronghold. A stronghold is a bad thinking pattern. It is a bad thinking pattern. It is based on lies and deception. A bad thinking pattern based on lies from the devil and the deception of the devil. Now, a stronghold is not a random thought. We all have problems with random thoughts. Thoughts that come through our minds. All of those have those things that pop in our minds that shouldn't. Just like some of you a while ago got mad at me by saying, you know what, never mind. But anyway, it popped in your mind. I can tell you're angry at me right now because I'd said something about those things. Well, you'll get it right one of these days. You'll find out that you ought to be a member of a good old-fashioned, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist church. Amen. Now, my wife's getting very nervous, so I better move on. Thoughts come in the mind like suicide. Some of you have had those thoughts before at some point in your life. That came in your mind. Or leaving the marriage. Committing some sin. Whatever it may be. The thought pops in your mind. The devil puts it in your mind. Bob Jones, the old Bob Jones, used to say years ago that you cannot keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can sure keep them from building a nest in your hair. Amen? There's a difference in a bird flying over your head and you allowing them to build a nest in your hair. And we do have those thoughts. We don't want those thoughts. We hate those thoughts. And those thoughts come from Satan. Amen? In Acts chapter 5, look there. Acts 5 and verses 1 through 3. We'll look, and you're reminded of the early church and something that took place there. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, now watch the language, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie, your heart and your mind, to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You see, the devil was the one that came into their mind, gave them the thought. They entertained the thought. They didn't get the thought out of their mind. They pursued the thought and they lied, and God killed both of them. Now, some folks may not believe that happened, but I believe what the Bible says. You don't monkey with God like that. You don't fool around with God. And they acted on the idea, and Satan got a stronghold in their heart, and they just kept on carrying that thing out. 2 Corinthians 10:10, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. Now here the Corinthians talking about Paul. But his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. In other words, they were saying, who in the world does Paul think he is? Telling us what to do, and preaching down to us like that and telling us all of these things. Who does he think he is? We don't have any respect. He may write good letters, but when he's here, he's not brave. He wouldn't face us one-on-one and talk to us like that. He's weak and his speech is contemptible. But this kept them from getting from God what God wanted to give them through the Apostle Paul, because they allowed Satan to get a stronghold in their lives and in their minds, and so it hindered them. Now, here's the process, just three or four steps. Number one, the thought comes in. Number two, the Holy Spirit convicts. You see, if you're saved, if you don't get convicted about bad thoughts, friend, you probably aren't saved. Amen? Now think about it. Your amen's awful weak tonight, but anyway, I would help it if you say it's like saying sickle to a bulldog. But anyway, the thought comes into the mind, and then the Holy Spirit convicts you. And then he calls your attention to the principle of the Word of God, what you should or should not do. And then there are two choices. You can run to the stronghold that is a stronghold of truth and get help from God, or you can run to the stronghold that is a lie, that is a stronghold Satan gets on your heart. And that's exactly what Ananias and Sapphira did. If you'll come to the truth, the stronghold of truth, the stronghold of truth will always protect you. The stronghold of the Word of God. Now, the devil will tell you things like this. God doesn't really love you. You'll think, God doesn't really love me. I've had people say that to me. God doesn't really love me. If he loved me, why did my child die? If he loved me, why am I having financial problems? If he loved me, why am I sick? If God loved me, why are all of these bad things happening to me? And the devil has convinced some people and given them a stronghold to make them think that God doesn't really love them. Let me tell you, God loves all of us tonight. He loves you as much as me, and me as much as you. God loves us. God loves people. And that's God. But the devil will try to tell you that is not true. And if he gets a stronghold there, you're in trouble. TV preachers will tell you if God loves you, he's going to give you a Cadillac or a nice car and all the money you want. You'll never get sick. You'll never have any problems if God loves you. But my friend, that's not what the Bible teaches. You know, the Bible ruined a lot of things, won't it? Psalm 34:19. Listen to it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Did you get that? You think just because you're going to be saved, you're going to be happy all the time, and you should have the joy of the Lord, but be happy all the time and have no problems and have all the money you want and never get sick and never have any difficulties. That's not what the Bible says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. God never promised us that he would keep us out of trouble, but God did promise he would take us through our trouble. Some of you are going through some trouble tonight, but remember, God is with you, and he's going to take you through that trouble. The devil will say to some people, well, you know, I deserve better than I'm getting. Let me tell you, thank God we don't get what we do deserve. But some people get this arrogant attitude, I deserve more than I'm getting. Who puts that idea in their mind? The devil. Satan puts that idea in their mind. She got the gift certificate. I didn't. I don't know why I didn't get it. You got quiet, didn't you? He preacher bragged on her, but he didn't brag on me. The world's not fair. People don't treat me right. That's a stronghold that the devil gives you. And it's called self-pity. It's concentrating too much on yourself and not enough on God. God knows what's best for you. And Romans 8:28 is true whether you got the certificate or not, or whether I did or not. And then the devil will say something like to some people, don't believe in hell. Somebody was telling me recently about their brother. He said to me, don't talk to me about that stuff. I don't believe any of that stuff. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. Can you imagine somebody saying that? Well, they do that. And they'll say something like this, I'll tell you, when you're dead, you're just dead. That's it. Now, who puts that kind of stuff in their mind and gives that kind of stronghold? It's the devil. And he gets them trapped in that kind of thinking. Hank Williams was one of the first who was really a superstar in music. I know all of you young people know who he was. How many of you know who Hank Williams was? All right. So you're older than dirt, right, Stephanie? We had a deal last night at Wes's birthday party, and it, so many things there you had to answer. And if 25 of them you knew what those things were, then you were older than dirt. Guess how many I got? 25. But Hank Williams had 12 number one songs, at least a dozen number one songs. But and he was one of the youngest. He was just a teenager when he broke in to the music industry. And the problem was he was immoral, lived a loose lifestyle, drank, used drugs, all of that. He got fired. He wrote the song, "I Saw the Light." In 1952, after his divorce was final, he was singing at the Grand Ole Opry and he was drunk. And they fired him when he was on the stage drunk. He was depressed, and then he began to drink some more and using more drugs. And then he, later on in San Diego, was drunk and he left the stage drunk. And Minnie Pearl and the promoter's wife wanted him to sober up. And he had written this song, "I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light." And they tried to get him to sing it. They said, "Why don't you sing that song, I Saw the Light?" And he said, "That's just it, Minnie. There ain't no light." In other words, he was saying, "There's no hope for me." Who put that lie in his mind? The devil. Friend, there's always hope, if you're breathing, for you to be saved. And anybody we know, don't quit praying for them. They can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died January the 1st, 1953, 29 years of age, thinking there was no hope, there was no light. Now, there are two kinds of strongholds. One is a stronghold that puts you in prison, and one is a stronghold that protects you. One puts you in prison, and one protects you. One is a fortress. It is a fortified city. Turn to Psalm 46, if you will, just a second. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. Hear the word of God as he talks about our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46, 2. "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah, stop and think about it. Verse 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah, think about it. God is our refuge. And we need to run to him, always run to him. There is a place to run to when we're attacked by the devil. We run to the Lord. So we should. Now, which stronghold are you going to run to? If you run to the prison, the devil's got a stronghold on you and you just keep on doing it. You deny the word of God and keep on with that sin, that practice, that attitude, that mindset that is contrary to the will of God. But if you'll run to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, then God will protect you. And God will keep your enemy out. Thank God we can go to him. He is a place of refuge. Where do we go? Where do you go when you feel upset? Where do you go when you feel sorry for yourself? Where do you go when you lose your temper? Do we go to the Lord? Do we go to the false things that Satan gives us to try to trap us and hold us into that sin? Or do we go to truth and believe the Bible versus the circumstances? We need to believe this book. Believe the Bible. Believe what it says. And don't let the circumstances be the things that tie you down. And don't let some habit or some sin ruin your life and mess you up. The Bible is where we need to go. Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said this: as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's not the power of positive thinking, but that has something to do with what you allow in your mind and what you allow to stay in your mind. As he thinketh, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What's in your mind? What's in your heart? A man by the name of Dr. Stanton, same now, sort of an unusual name, and he did some research. He wrote a book, Inside the Criminal Mind, and did some research about criminals. And he came up with something that was astounding, that a lot of people were taken back when they heard what he said. And he did the most extensive study of anybody with criminals, of anybody ever. And he came up with this, and that is that people commit crimes because of the way they think. Now, we have a lot of other excuses, but they commit crimes because of the way they think. In other words, if you'll change their thinking, he said, you can change their behavior. That's why when somebody in prison gets saved, they change their thinking. They change their life because they get saved and they listen to the Lord instead of listening to the lies of the devil. And believe it or not, criminals have a high self-esteem. You'd say, I didn't think that. Most of us don't. But criminals have a very high self-esteem. In fact, they think so much of themselves, they think if they want your car, they have a right to get your car. And they think so much of themselves, they think society owes it to them, so they go to a bank and rob a bank because they have so much self-esteem. This was what he understood as he studied all of these criminal cases. You see, self-esteem is not the problem. That's not the problem. We try to blame everything for it. Oh, he was brought up poor. She was brought up poor, has low self-esteem. That's why he or she is a criminal. Or we say, society, you know, society failed them. It's our society. We owe them everything. We fail them. It's our society. Or we'll say, you know, the real problem is they just didn't get a good education. If they just had a good education, they would not be criminals. All of those things are untrue. Dr. Samenow said, no, that's not the reason. Self-esteem is not the problem. And here's his proof, one proof. There are others. He said there are two young men, about the same age, close to the same age, brothers, raised in the same home, raised in the same environment, went to the same school, the same family, all of the very same things, and one goes to jail, and one becomes a very successful corporate president. All in the same situation. What's the difference? One thought one way, and one thought another way. It was the way they were thinking. And so what happens? The devil tries to make us think wrongly. And I want to tell you, he's an expert at it. He knows your red button and he knows when to push it. And the devil will make you think things that you should not think. The bad things that he might make us think would be anger, bitterness, lust, just to name a few of them. And we'll get into some of these as we get into the series. But even some of the good things, an overly confident person who says, I don't need to depend on the Lord. I'm so self-confident. Who puts that kind of lie in somebody's mind? The devil. Or somebody who acts like they're humble when the truth is they're really proud and they have a pseudo-humility. Who puts that kind of thinking in their mind? The devil does that. I'll tell you, the devil can get a stronghold before you know it. Where's our protection? The protection is in the Word of God. Go to it, and it'll help you. And if you'll go to the Word of God every time and find out those principles, then the devil is not going to get a stronghold unless you just determine in your heart you're going to go against God's Word. That's the way it is with salvation. There it is. You can be saved by grace through Jesus Christ. The devil says, that's a lie. You got to work. You got to join the church. You got to be baptized until every tadpole from here to West Texas knows your serial number. You got to go through all of those things to get to heaven. God says, no, there's one way. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Let's stand, please. What kind of stronghold? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to listen to this statement, this question. What kind of thinking is in your mind tonight that you know is contrary to God's Word? I tell you, if there's stuff like that and habit, pornography, anything else, bad attitude, bitterness, anger, pride, false humility, deception, I don't know. What might be in your heart tonight? If it doesn't match up to this book, friend, the devil's got a stronghold. He starts out with a little toehold, then he gets a foothold. And then he'll get a stronghold. And some have strongholds tonight. Teenagers, what kind of strongholds does the devil have in your life tonight? Any? You say, no, preacher, thank God. But if there are, make them right. Let's get them right tonight. Be careful about it. It may be a negative, bad attitude. Self-pity, but nevertheless a stronghold. Some habit you have that God has told you to quit and you won't do it. May God help us. Father, I pray that if there are any lost here tonight, they'd be saved. And I pray that we'd recognize who wants the stronghold on us and why, so he can ruin us, embarrass your name. And I pray that we would, God, rush to Jesus and the Word of God for our stronghold, and not let Satan get the stronghold on us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.